That is Devon Godchow yesterday suggesting that in the third quarter there were guys who weren't playing with pride on that defense, and that is an issue, I guess. And he is, I guess if you want to look at it in a positive way, he's trying to be a leader. And, back-to-back weeks or every other week, he's going to call guys out that are playing with him on that defense and suggest that you're not getting enough from them.
Yeah, but if I'm in that locker room, I'm like, bro, who you talking about? Because I'm out here busting my ass every play. So I think that's Courtney. You brought it up. When you say you're not playing with pride, that's like basically saying like you're giving up, you're not playing hard enough.
Right.
Like however you want to, however you basically want to say it looks like you're quitting, and whatever, adjective or that you want to use, that's what it's basically saying about your team.
And I guess different leadership ways, to each their own. But if I'm in that locker room and I'm a teammate and he's supposed to be a leader, I don't think I really respect the going to the media aspect of it. And maybe that's the Patriot way that I'm used to.
No.
And other teams are different. But I would be upset if a leader in our locker room is going out to the media now twice and talking about his teammates in that way, if I'm one of those guys.
And Courtney, I think you're right. And, I disputed it slightly earlier because it's like, maybe he's just repeating the same thing he's saying in the locker room. But if your coach is doing his job, you don't do that. Like, if the operation should be the coach motivates the players, the players, leadership players are the disciples of the coach's message, and everything works well. For Godchow to do that, because I remember it was on Jones and Keefe, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was like a throwaway, not a throwaway, it was an unexpected barb.
He said guys were playing selfish.
And Jones and Keefe were like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then this example, it's like, so then you're not a good leader, Devon, because, like I'd say that to his face, he could probably beat me up in 2 seconds.
Yeah.
But
I doubt that.
Oh, I mean,
you
three?
You look like you can throw if you have to throw,
don't sell
Curtis.
Yourself short.
You know
who
I want to throw at? John, our old neighbor in Southie who moved to Beverly. James went up to his house and he gave him a drum kit. I now have a drum kit.
Oh,
it is the worst thing anybody's ever done to me.
Oh, that's the worst gift you could ever give a kid.
God in heaven.
Anyway,
I was like, was I rude to you? Did I say something?
Yeah.
Anyway, I if that message is successful, if you are a good leader, and this is what we can ask, I'll ask Gerard, like, why is that such a hard name to say? Gerard, about what and why you are feeling the need to go public with the dirty laundry. Why are you not successfully getting the message?
Isn't that kind of like the culture that Gerard Mayo has created and encouraged?
Pretty much.
Maybe he doesn't object to it. I mean,
I'm sure he'll say he doesn't object to it because it doesn't make him look good if he does and it continues to happen. But
yeah.
It's not the way that you should be operating.
Check me on the sidelines.
But is he right? I mean, you look at that defense. Do you feel like there are guys that are not playing with pride?
See, I don't see that in it. Like, I see the guys working hard. My thing is like, check me on the sidelines or check me in the locker room. Like, you got issues with what we're doing. Let's have it out on the sidelines. I'd rather them there be pushing and shoving going on the sidelines, because at least that shows me that, okay, he's saying it to these guys right then and there.
But, look at the guys on the defense and tell me who you thought had a really good game yesterday. I thought our guy, Jelani Tavai, had a great game yesterday.
Yeah. I haven't looked at the All-22 yet.
I don't think anybody.
Just naked eye, Curtis.
I don't think anybody had like a good game when you give up the type of yards that you give up. Like, I think defensively, like, if I'm Devon Godchow, I say, we all looked horrible. We all got to play better.
I have to be better.
I got
to
be better. You know, the way, like, we all have to, we're better than this. Like, Mayo says, you're giving up 250-plus yard runs. Like, when take pride in that element of not giving up that type of touchdown.
There's got to be some truth to it, though, if Covington said it, too. So if you've got two guys that are talking to the
selfish
media,
part,
yes,
that means I could see guys just trying to do too much and get out of there.
That's different. The selfish thing is different.
Well, if you say selfish 2 weeks ago and then you're now saying that they're not playing with pride, I just think that there's a lot of issues going on when it comes to the defense.
And I would say the biggest one is Bentley's injury. I mean, if you look back to, what was that, 3 weeks ago now, where he had been the, you know, in the middle of that defense, is the best linebacker you have playing at a pretty high level. I think that's been the biggest flaw, because if you, I mean, getting rashed, you're the expert, mm-hmm. Wiggy, but you're getting gashed in the run game. I mean, you lose your best linebacker. That might be a part
of it. Well, it's the selfish part of it, because even Jelani talked about it, is something sometimes, because a guy might think, oh, I'm trying to do more and make a play over here when I should be doing my job over there, they might look at that as, I'm just trying to help out. I'm trying to – no, like, so the selfish part of it, and Jelani said it, is like, if you got the B-gap, you take the B-gap. And then you try to make a play from there. You don't go, oh, I thought I see something, let me go to the A-gap to see if I can make this play. That's the selfish part. Like, that part, I get guys might be given effort, but they're trying to do too much. When you say the pride thing, that comes across as, like, where everybody is not giving it their all.
Yes.
So I feel like who you talking about, is that me?
All right. Patriots are 1-5 for the first time since 1995. And we will talk about that with Gerard Mayo at 9:20 this morning. This is Ray. Ray from Boston. Ray, good morning.
Morning, guys. How is everybody?
What's going on?
So I called in just to say Alex Van Pelt has to go. He is such a stale and boring coordinator. They called the most basic plays, the most basic runs right up the middle, and just got stuffed every single time, and then put Drake May out in the island, 3rd and 9, 3rd and 8. There was no creativity, like no pop passes, no screens, no RPOs. Like, what are we doing here? This guy needs to get fired mid-season. We need a new coordinator now.
I agree. Yeah. I would fire him today.
Thank you.
I would say.
Is the lack of availability of Ramondre Stevenson any kind of an excuse for that? Or
I don't think so. I mean, no. I thought Gibson ran well. I mean, yeah, the offensive line is the biggest reason the offense stinks. It's entirely on Robert Kraft. That is a pathetic dereliction of duty to not spend on that position group. In this day in the NFL, especially when you have a guy that's the number 3 pick, you need to learn as quick as possible. That line sucks. Mm-hmm. But Alex Van Pelt is just not
creative enough.
Unimaginative.
First play of the game, don't run downhill. Come out with a quick wide receiver screen or something to maybe get the defense kind of like, whoa, wait a second, what's going on? Come out and empty, maybe quick pass. You know, quick 5-yard stick route to Hunter Henry or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, if he's looking at a rookie quarterback who's yet to play any significant,
right,
you know, legitimate matters football, mm-hmm. maybe you want him to hand the ball off and get
comfortable. The best way to get comfortable is confidence. And so why not make it nice and simple, maybe a bootleg on first down?
And don't you know if he can handle it with the reps he's getting during practice? Like, but don't you know mentally he can pick up on whatever plays you want to draw up for him?
Like, practice is way different than the games. Like, if it's me.
But you got to trust him at some point.
Well, but I'm saying if it's me, I'm first play of the game, maybe I use his athletic ability and I run like a quick little bootleg or something where you bring somebody across the formation. They ran one in the game. He spits it out nice and easy. He gets a little confidence in his first throw. You get the ball into one of the tight end and wide receiver's hands. You pick up about 5, 6, 7 yards, and then you can run on second down.
This is Joe from Randolph. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Yeah, good morning, everybody. I guess I have a question for Wiggy, and it pertains to the poor performances on both sides of the ball. Now, do we think that it's the coaches that are unable to get the players to perform at their full potential? Or do you think it's the players who, like Bill Parcells says, these guys just can't play good football?
Thank you for the call. They don't have the talent on the football team. I mean,
defensively, didn't we think they did?
Well, there's a lot of injuries. I mean, that, you know, no excuse, but there's a lot of injuries on that side of the
right.
football. I mean, on the
but doesn't everybody deal with injuries?
Yeah. On the other side of the football, I mean, you got Pop Douglas. Yeah, you got Booty. I mean,
Hunter Henry. I think it's more Hunter about Henry, scheming things up. You got the kid Gibson. Like, your offensive line is struggling, but it's about scheming things up. Their biggest issue, the Patriots' biggest issue, You know where they fumbled the bag on this one? When they went with that stupid plan to not just say, Drake May, get your ass in there. From day one, the week we drafted you, from minicamp to training camp, you're getting 99.9% of the reps. Get in there. We're going as far as you can take us.
Well, even if they didn't do that, when he did end up winning the battle in camp, Jerod Mayo absolutely made a mistake.
Right.
Because twofold. One, you didn't have the better player playing. And two, the message you send to the roster is you didn't have a meritocracy. The guy that played the best at the most important position was on the bench, not on the field.
Did you get new receivers in yesterday's game?
No.
Nope.
Did the passing game look better?
Much.
Yep. Yeah.
So then what the issue was...
He elevated
those guys around them. So imagine if you would have just went with your gut from day one and said, you know what, Drake? We're putting you in. Hey, you're a tough kid. You're going to get hit. You're going to make some mistakes. But you're going to learn week in and week out. Imagine where you'd be right now, right here today. I don't want to sound like, you know, the old... You know, parent who says, I told you so.
Oh, you don't like doing that.
No. But I told you so. And all those other people that bought into the sheep of, oh, he's going to get hurt.
Right.
Your Olowskis. All your other people.
Oh,
like
they're all over
Brady's,
the Boston media landscape.
All the former Patriots, your Gronks.
Matt Chatham.
Don't play him until whenever. If you would have played him, he would be in a much better position just because of the on-the-job reps that he would have been able to get. And because I know this, what did he play yesterday? Was week 6?
Yep. Yeah.
Think about where he's going to be week 12.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got to see Drake May yesterday, and you could talk about that all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. Coming up at 8, we'll talk to Boomer Esiason about a controversial new location for the Super Bowl. This is what Boomer said about it.
That would suck.
We'll get to Boomer coming up at 8 on a Patriots Monday here at WEEI.